Thankful for that genuine Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. She didn't know I was going to do this. Hey, Wanda, why don't you come up here this morning? Yeah. They got to singing that, and I thought about another song. I thought, well, if they're going to shout a little bit, maybe we'll shout a little bit too. The Laytons can shout, so can the Bryants, right? Amen. 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 Let's sing this together if you know it. Traveling that highway home. G.
Oh, I'm traveling that highway home. Lord, I'm traveling that highway home. Oh, narrow's the way, but thank God I can say, Lord, I'm traveling that highway home. Oh, Lord, I'm traveling that highway. I'm traveling that highway home. Oh, narrow's the way, but thank God I can say, Lord, I'm traveling that highway home. Well, old Satan said that I'd never be, but Lord, I'm traveling that highway home. And you know when I resist him, that old devil has to flee. So I'm traveling that highway home. Oh, Lord, I'm traveling that highway home. Lord, I'm traveling that highway home. Well, so narrow the way, but thank God I can say, Jesus has set a marker for me, so I'm traveling that highway home. And it's right there in my Bible, it's as plain as can be, so I'm traveling that highway home. Oh Lord, I'm traveling that highway home. Lord, I'm traveling that highway home. Oh, narrow the way, but thank God I can say, Lord, I'm traveling. Shake somebody's hand while we sing it again. Oh, yes, I'm traveling that highway home. Lord, I'm traveling that highway home. Oh, narrow the way, but thank God I can say, Lord, I'm traveling that highway home. Oh, Lord, I'm traveling that highway home. Lord, I'm traveling that highway home. So narrow the way, but thank God I can say, Lord, I'm traveling that highway home. Well, old Satan said that we'd never be, but we're traveling that highway home. Oh friend, if you're just resisting that old devil has to flee, you can travel this highway home. Oh yes, I'm traveling that highway home. Oh Lord, I'm traveling that highway home. Oh, narrow the way, but thank God I can say, Lord, I'm traveling that highway. Sing it with us this morning. Oh, yes, I'm traveling that highway home. Oh, I'm traveling that highway home. Oh, narrow the way, but thank God I can say, Lord, I'm traveling that highway home.
Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.
Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me. Oh, it's that old-time Holy Spirit. And that devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it. It's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old, just give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me. Oh, it will make you stop your lying. It will save you when you're dying. It'll start that old devil flying. Lord, it's good enough for me. Just give me that old. Lord, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me. Oh, it's so good, I want no other. For it makes me love my brother. And it brings things from undercover. Lord, it's good enough for me. Just give me that old. Lord, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me. Oh, it was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. Lord, it's good enough for me. Just give me that old-time religion. Give me that old. Just give me that old-time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me. It makes me love everybody. Makes me love. Lord, it makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Just give me that old. Give me that old-time religion. Lord, give me that old-time religion. give me that old, give me that old time religion. Lord, give me that old time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me. Just give me that old, give me that old time religion. Lord, give me that old time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me.
Amen. God bless you this morning. Well, typically our first Sunday of the month, we've been starting with the Church Age series. We've been going through the tapes. This month, the tape is quite a bit shorter than the others that we've been playing. So we're going to pick up with that tonight, Lord willing, and finish it up on Wednesday night. Just felt led to go a different path because of some things that have happened recently here at the church. And so felt led to go a little bit different path this morning. We looked last Sunday morning on 3 minutes till midnight, and then we played the film on Wednesday night of 3 minutes till midnight. And just having that on my heart and thinking that that was kind of part, maybe the first part of a little series that we'll do here, we want to look at signs of the times. And this morning we want to look at a thought on false prophets and musicians. You can be seated at this time if you want, or take your place rather. St. Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter and the 15th verse, says this: "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So let's just bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just ask you to come on the scene this morning to be a help to us, Father. Lord, as we want to look into your word and we want to find a balance on these things, Lord, there are so many things that, Lord, your bride is facing in this age, facing discouragement, facing trials, facing battles of the mind, battles of the flesh, battles in the spiritual realm, Father. And Lord, we want to do everything that we can, Lord, not to discourage someone, but to be an encouragement. Lord, to lift somebody up and help them in their walk with you, to help them to see a little bit more of this word, to help them to grow a little bit closer to you. And Father, be with us this morning as we look at these things. Help us to bring it in the right spirit, if the right attitude and the right approach. Father, if there's anything that I would say that would be unpleasing to you, may you just stop my mouth, Lord, and prevent me, Lord, from saying anything that would grieve the Spirit. Lord, if there's anything that you would have me to say, Lord, help me not to hold back, regardless of what it would be, Father. Lord, we just want to be true to your word. Help us this morning as a group of people. And Lord, we just ask you to give me strength and wisdom. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Sometimes with the church, you know, it feels like everything kind of happens at once. I think the old saying is, when it rains, it pours. And there have just been some things recently that I feel like that maybe Satan trying to attack just any way he can. And I want us, a few years ago, we went through a little topic on no other foundation, trying to lay a foundation for the church of what we believe, what we stood for, what the Bible said, many of the different doctrines and things that Brother Branham brought, how that, you know, we could take them right back to the Bible, whether it was predestination, serpent seed, the Godhead, whatever topic that you would want to take. These aren't things that you know, he just decided one day, well, I'm just going to make this up and it's going to be something that we're going to do. But holiness and all these teachings that he taught us, we can take it all right back to the Scriptures, and we have a foundation, a solid foundation that we can go to. Now, I believe Brother Branham was a vindicated prophet. I've come that far enough to where my eyes are opened. You know, I see it. I recognize it. I don't read a quote and think, oh my, well, I guess I better go find out if Brother Branham's right or not, and have to feel like I have to prove it by the Scriptures for myself, because I know he was a vindicated prophet. But if I'm going to go tell somebody, you know, that's not a message believer, that doesn't have any idea about a vindicated prophet or God sending a prophet in this day, the only way I'm going to be able to convince them is if I can take it back to the Scriptures and show them, look, this is what the Scripture taught us, and then God sent send us a vindicated prophet to restore this truth back, because many of the things that were lost down through the ages, we find out that they were right there in the Bible the whole time, but the people had watered them down and begin to get away from it. And we can find that, you know, many places where they would go along a certain amount, even down through the church ages, as we've been looking, doing the study on the church ages here, how that they would go along many times and run very well, and then they would reach a certain spot and they would get off. Maybe it would be women preachers, or maybe it would be eternal security, or maybe it would be something that they took and they ran with it and got just a little bit of a bent on it that wasn't according to the scriptures. Brother Jack Duff was telling me on the phone the other day, so they did a little study with some of the young people there at the church, and he asked them to take a denomination and go back and study on it and bring some of the major doctrines that they teach. And he said when bringing those things, they would find many of them, the majority of the things that they taught, some of the Pentecostals, some of them UPC and different ones, they'll go right along with many of the things that we believe, but then they'll get off somewhere. And they would explain to him, these are the major doctrines, and he'd stop them and say, right there's where they got off the word, because the word says this. And then they'd bring up the next denomination, this is what they teach. Many of the things would be right down the line, and then he'd say, well, right there, that's where they get off. See, they're off the word over there. So we find out we want to be on the word. We want to be on the word. Paul says it this way in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. He's getting ready to depart. He's getting ready to be taken and beheaded. And he knows this. And people even keep coming to him and prophesying him, telling him, don't go. They're going to kill you. And Paul says, I know, but I'm willing to give my life. And you know, he was happy. Paul, I believe, wanted to give his life as a martyr because he'd been so grieved by what had happened there with little Stephen that he never got away from it. And he tells them here as he's beginning to depart, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know that after this after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Now, if we haven't seen that in this age. You know, these grievous wolves, they didn't come in from some other denomination, or they didn't come in from somewhere outside, somebody at your job or somebody at your school. The majority of the time when we see a grievous wolf come in, it's usually right in the church or right around the message. Men are rising up out of this message that they've decided, they've begun to look, and intellectually they've been able to figure out, and they think, well, Brother Branham was wrong over here, and they think they see a mistake over there. And what is it? Grievous wolves of your own selves arise, speaking perverse things to draw themselves away disciples. Now, they don't have anywhere to really take him to. And, you know, usually a false prophet in this day, back in the Old Testament, if there was a false prophet, he would have his own ministry, and he would maybe get his own church, and he would get his own following. Today, most of the false prophets around the message, they don't have the boldness to do that. They don't go and start their own church, but they'll go to another man's church and they'll try to split it up, or they'll go and they'll start themselves a website, or they'll get themselves a Facebook account and they begin to try to preach. We even find a lot of women preachers around the message that way. They'll get on and they'll start a Facebook account, or they'll start a blog, or they'll get on some of these forums and they'll begin to try to debate and everything with some of these grievous wolves. And what do you find? Before long, they're pulled right out there and deceived amongst them. Remember, Eve, she did the same thing. She stopped to talk to the serpent a little bit and to try to reason with him. And before you know it, he had her right out there following along right where he wanted her. And today, many of them, you know, today in our day, it's not just a garden that we're walking through that, you know, that we're not going to see a serpent there like the denominations think, wrapped around a tree, nor we're going to see just some brute beast that's like a man walk up to us and you know, and begin to reason the word with us always. But many times in this day, Satan begins to reason with Eve in the form of social media, or in the form of email, or in the form of all these different things of the news or different things, and they'll begin to infiltrate that way. A lot of us are too, you know, we've grown too much. We're too wise to sit and allow somebody maybe to come in our home and lay all these things out for us that would be contrary to the word. But what does Satan do? He allows you to go and begin to reason, to get on forums, to get on websites, to get on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it would be, and begin to kind of dabble and debate. And what is it? It's many that they were, as he said, grievous wolves. They rose up right out of the midst of the message, and now they're trying to pull disciples away after themselves. They don't have anywhere to take them. They're not the pastor of a church. They haven't started a new denomination. They're just taking them backwards to some Baptist church or Methodist church or whatever it would be. And they're going backwards, but the bride of Jesus Christ always goes forwards. 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now, most people today, sadly, even those that profess the message, they won't do what this scripture says, because most of them are so scared of a preacher, they won't even try a spirit to begin with. Or there's others that they just gobble everything up and they just say, "Well, bless God, he says he's part of the message, so he must be all right," and they just accept everything. But both sides aren't following what Paul said. He said, "Try every spirit to see, try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world." So if someone's going to come to us with something, whether it's a doctrine or an idea or an approach, or whether they're trying to say something against the message or whatever it would be, we want to look at it and not just, you know, not just begin to dabble in it and just take their word for it, but we want to first of all try the spirit. Many times before a person, they'll come to you maybe and, "Oh, bless God, we've got this idea and we've got that idea," and before they even present what their idea is or what their doctrine is or what their complaint is, you can already tell by the spirit or by the attitude that the person has that there's something that's just not right. Try the spirits, Paul said. Oh, I've had many of them that tell me things that I thought, "My, that was pretty good. That's all right." But the spirit was lousy. The spirit was lousy behind it. Brother Bram said, you know, if you're a carpenter or you're a salesman and you're trying to sell a nail gun, he said, you don't go out here and find an old carpenter, you know, with his old worn out hammer that he's had for 43 years, and he's out there just a plinkety, 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 and you come out there and you shake your head, and, "Oh, you pitiful old timer. You're so behind. You don't know what you're doing, and my, we're so beyond you," and all these things. He said, first of all, you've ruined your sale because you ran down his product. He said, first you go and you say, "My, that's a nice hammer. Oh yeah, Betsy's been with me 43 years, you know, been a good hammer. Well, I'd like you to just take this and try it a little bit." See, the approach and the spirit and the attitude. Many times we've got a wonderful product. We've got the word of the hour. But many times our approach, many times we've ran out here and tried to force serpent seed down people's throat and force this down, and, you know, if they don't see it, well, I guess they're just deceived. I guess they're just an old antichrist that never came in. Did you ever think that maybe it was your attitude and your spirit and your approach that pushed them away? So we want to be careful. The Bible said to use wisdom in these things. So 2 Peter, he tells us in chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, "There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon them swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Once again, he's telling us the false teachers, he didn't say, "Watch out there in the denomination, somebody's going to raise up and try to deceive you, or some old drunk out in the street, you better watch him, he's going to try." No, he said there's going to be false teachers come right among you that are going to try to deceive. Now, just seeing some things happening recently around the message and around our church and feeling led to, you know, God placed me here not to be a ruler over you, There's a lot of churches that that's how they feel. They feel that the pastor is just somebody that, bless God, it's his way or the highway. And if he tells you you can't wear, you know, short sleeves, then you can't wear short sleeves. And if he tells you you can't wear a certain color, like many of them were saying on me that I preached that you couldn't wear red, I said, well, goodness, what are they going to say when they see my Christmas sermon? And there I am wearing a red shirt. You know, you get all these legalistic ideas, man-made stuff. You can't wear a watch. You can't wear a ring. The sisters, you can't wear a necklace. You know, you can't wear short sleeves and all these different things. And you know what I do anymore, Brother Levi? I like to, you know, even and when they get into some of these things, I like to say, just show me where that's at. Just show me where that's at. I'd love to believe that if it's in the Word. Can you show me where it's at in the Word? Well, that's just what we believe. Or that's just what Brother So-and-so is teaching that way. Well, I appreciate Brother So-and-so, but Brother So-and-so is not my absolute. This Word is my absolute. This Bible and this vindicated Word for the hour, that's my absolute. Amen. That's my foundation. That's what I have to go back to. If you're going to teach something, if you're going to approach something, it doesn't matter. Well, the pastor says it, or so-and-so says it, or this one says it. Yes, but it cannot be backed up by the Word. That's what we want to look at. We want to make sure that it's according to the Word of God, because if it's not, then it's just an opinion. And I'm not going to run my life by people's opinions. You know, we tease about the thermostat, but if we ran the thermostat off of everybody's opinion, the little switch would be broke before the service was out. Well, bless God, I'm hot. And they'd go over. Well, bless God, I'm cold. They'd go over. So we don't run the church by people's opinions. I'm not even going to run the thermostat off of somebody's opinion, let alone the Word of God. But people come and they get all kinds of ideas and they begin to look at things. And, as I begin to think about this, I thought, Lord, just give me wisdom on how to handle some of these things. And I just typed in a couple words there in the computer and the table search. And I typed in the word shepherd and I typed in the word pastor. And I began to click through and I got to about the third quote. And I thought, I think my wife heard me holler from the next room. She said, what's wrong? I said, oh, I just love the way the Lord does things. That's all. I just love the way the Lord does things. You know, sometimes we think, Lord, how am I going to handle this? How am I going to go about this situation? What am I going to do? And you know, you go and you begin to look in the Word. Oh, there it is right there. There it is right there in black and white. So we find out, Brother Branham said, if there's a scriptural question, that there should be a scriptural answer for it. So, if you have a scriptural question, you may not be able to find, we talk about these things we were talking about this morning, social media and forums and all these different things. There's not a quote or a scripture that I can take you to that says Facebook or Twitter or cable television or all these different things. But there are things we can look at in the scripture and we can find the same spirit and the same type and the things like that. Brother Bram tells us, he said, even the telephone, he said it could be used for a good thing or it could be used for a bad thing. So we find that's the way with many of these things. They're a tool and it depends on how you use it, whether it's a blessing or whether it's a cursing. Now Paul says, he runs across this man here in Acts chapter 13 and verse 6. It says, when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus. That means son of Jesus. That sounds good. Son of Jesus. He must have a powerful ministry. Even his name, Son of Jesus. Let's go follow that brother. But it said he was a false prophet and a sorcerer. So if you just went off of his name, you wouldn't be able to get very far. But by his fruits, they were able to determine by trying his spirit that he was a sorcerer and a false prophet. But this man, it says he was a deputy of a certain country, the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. So this man, this Jew whose name is Bar-Jesus, he's a sorcerer and a false prophet, and he's with this man who's a deputy, and the deputy calls for Barnabas and Saul, and he wants to hear about this great word of God. But there's another sorcerer. It says Elymas the sorcerer, for so he is, so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So this man, Bar-Jesus, his name was Elymas, by interpretation, he seeks to turn them away from the truth, to intercede there and try to prevent them from getting a revelation. And then Saul, who is also called Paul, it says, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness." My, he wasn't watering it down, was he? You notice they didn't just say there was a certain brother in a certain city either. But it called the man's name, it called his surname, called his translated name, said what type of man he was, said what his fellow associates were. And then Paul begins to speak to him. He says, "Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord?" He wasn't pulling any punches. "And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Now, sadly, there's a lot, you know, that have walked away or that have started things or that have tried to prevent others from seeing the truth. And, you know, like the Church of Christ preacher told Brother Branham that time, he said, "Smite me blind, smite me blind." He said, "How can I? You're already blind." Now, the man could see 20/20, no doubt, but he was absolutely blinded to the truth. Remember, there was a group of people one time, the Syrian army, they came up one time and was trying to find Elisha. And when they did, they got him completely surrounded, and his servant began to get a little upset, a little disturbed. And he said, "Oh, look, they've got us surrounded." Elisha said, "Son, don't worry." He said, "There's more with us than there is with them." And he said, "Open his eyes, Lord." And the man began to look around. There was chariots of fire and angels encamped around about him. Now, you may not be able to see it with your physical eye, but the Bible said that the angels of God encamp around them that fear him. The angels of God are encamped about you. You say, "Oh, Brother Nathan, I was almost in a wreck the other day, or something happened. You know, my family, they almost was sucked into false doctrine, or they almost did this, or they almost did that. But just right at the last second, it seemed like something came on the scene. What was it? Angels of God encamped around them that fear him." Oh, thank God for it this morning. Gehazi began to get a little worried. Maybe you're a little worried this morning. Maybe you're facing a situation. Maybe you've got a sickness in your body. Maybe you've got a bill that's coming due. Maybe you've got something that you've been fighting maybe for years and just a spiritual battle. Maybe it's a depression or maybe it's a complex that the devil's given you. Or maybe it's some little secret sin that you're trying to overcome and you think, "Oh my, I'm just not able." But listen, there's more with you this morning than there is with them. Remember, we read it a couple Wednesday nights ago. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? Doesn't matter what happens in politics. Doesn't matter what happens in the economy. And what is it doing? It's just pressurizing the bride for flight. If God be for us, who can be against us? So this man was literally blinded. But in the days of Elisha, there these men stood and they walk up and they said, "Sir, can you take us to Elisha the prophet?" There he was right there standing in front of him. But Brother Branham said, "What was it?" He said, "No doubt they had 20/20 vision, but they were blinded to the fact that he was a prophet." Now, we're going to get into a few things this morning. I'm going to read a few quotes about pastors. Some of them might make me a little uncomfortable. Some of them might make you a little uncomfortable. But I admitted a few that it would be a lot worse. So I'm not ashamed to read any quotes, so I hope it doesn't offend you this morning. The position of a believer in Christ, he says, "I feel sorry for a pastor." Oh my. I feel sorry for a pastor that's a real true pastor. Here an element in the church wants to be a fanatic. Here's another one on this side wants to be ritualistically. It often, usually cold and formal, gets because they're the educated scholarly type until both of them has nothing spiritual. And the first thing you know, your church freezes up. And if they don't watch, they're both of them bragging. Both of them bragging. Here's this starchy intellectual side over there. Look at those bunch of holy rollers. Always, you know, always, it's always got to be emotion. All these different things, you know. And they'll say, "Oh, Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost without emotion." No, that's not what he said. That's how they quote it many times. I'm going to start my own quote book of things that people misquote Brother Branham of saying, because there's so many that, "Bless God, Brother Branham said this." No, that's not really what he said, but you're warm, you're close. He didn't say the Holy Ghost without emotion, he said the Holy Ghost without sensation. He also said anything without emotion is dead, and if that your religion doesn't have emotion, you better bury it, because anything that's dead should be buried. So we don't believe in sensations as the evidence of the Holy Spirit, but if the Holy Spirit really begins to move on you, I believe it'll cause some type of an emotion. It may not, you may not jump and shout and run, although you may. You may not speak in tongues, but you may. You may not, weep and cry, but the other brother beside you under the same anointing, he might be just weeping and crying there, and maybe you're just raising your hands to Jesus and praising him. Maybe the next guy speaking in tongues and worshiping the Lord, and another guy hopping around on one foot, and another guy just maybe hands over his face just praying quietly. What is it? The Holy Spirit's moving, and it's going to have an effect on you. If it doesn't have an effect on you, you sit there, bless God, I didn't feel nothing. Yeah, I bet you didn't. I bet you didn't feel anything. But, you know, there's many things that I can't feel that doesn't mean they don't exist. Oh, my, there's many things that I can't see, but yet that doesn't mean that they don't exist. I can't, with my naked eye, look and see some of these planets and things out there, but that doesn't mean that they don't exist. So you say, the Holy Spirit's never moved on me like that. Well, maybe you should pray that he does. You might enjoy it. People, you know, they don't want to come to church because, I'm glad I don't come to that church because I wouldn't want to break down and cry in front of somebody. Well, you just need the Holy Ghost. You need to get away from some of that stuff, old starchy attitude. But what is it? This group, they begin to brag. Bless God, we're not like that bunch of holy rollers, a bunch of fanatics and emotional. And the other group on the other side, we jumped and shouted and ran. That other group over there, they just sit cold and starchy. What did he say? They begin, if they don't watch it, they're both of them bragging. And he said, neither one of them with anything really truly spiritual. He says, and the first thing you know, why, they'll take off on this side. He said, but pray God to send you some sensible, sound gospel teacher that'll stand in the way and give you a little bit of a spanking when you need it and love you when you need it. Yes. That's the problem with a lot of them. Sadly, they're all about the spanking side. They're going to preach hellfire and brimstone. And then when somebody is really down, needs help, well, bless God, if you just had faith, you'd have something, you'd be able to overcome it. They maybe need a little bit of love right then instead of a spanking. Yes. He said, give them a little bit of spanking. When you need it, and love when you need it, and keep you lined up with the Scripture and with the Spirit. He's a shepherd watching over your soul. If you got that, Pastor, flee to God and pray for him all the time. Listen to him, he says. Now, Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Most people say, oh, that's not the Spirit of Christ. Well, I guess Paul didn't have it then, because that's what he said. Said, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now, sadly, most of us have been preached a watered-down gospel that we don't want to offend anybody, and we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And you know what a lot of it is you get a lot of the Joel Osteen spirit creeps in around the message that God just loves everybody, and God doesn't care what decisions you make, and God just wants you to be happy. Well, there's a little bit of truth in that, and there's a lot of false in it, too. Amen. God wants you to be happy. God does love you. But God also has a word that he wants you to obey. And there's many that rise up around the message with things absolutely contrary. Many come, some of them with the perverted spirit spiritually. Some of them with the perverted spirit physically. And they begin to say all kinds of things contrary to the truth. They begin to try to pull the people into some wild idea that they have. And Paul warns the preachers, and he tells them, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. He didn't believe in this whole idea of, we're just going to tiptoe around everything and just let anything come in that wants to come in. No, we're going to stand for the Word of God. And, I've told some of the brothers recently, I said there's some situations. I don't believe in really calling names and ostracizing people and all that. I would never do it unless I absolutely had to. But I said if some of these things get too out of hand where brothers coming in with the perverted spirit on them and things like that, I said I'll address it from the pulpit if it comes to that. You say, oh, you shouldn't do that, Brother Nathan. You shouldn't do that, brother. All right. Let me just let you hear what Brother Bram said. This was too long for me to read. So it's about 6 minutes long, and I just want you to hear this. There was a brother that came to the tabernacle, and if you go back and listen to the tape, I felt so sorry for Brother Neville. Brother Branham said he felt sorry for a real pastor. And I felt sorry for Brother Neville because there he is, and he gets up before the people. There's about a three-minute clip of him speaking to the people there at the tabernacle before he invites Brother Branham to the pulpit, if you go back and listen to this tape. And he's standing there, and he's telling them, he said, now there's been a lot of things going on in the church. He said, some of the people in the back, he said, they're talking and things and whispering loudly or just talking right out. And he said, you know, this is a small building and we want to keep it in order. And he said, you know, we just ask you to not do that. And the whole time he's talking, there's a baby just screaming to where you can't hardly even hear Brother Neville talking. I thought, oh, poor Brother Neville. And he said, you know, this area in the back here, he said, don't just be loitering, standing around. He said, that's for you to go get a drink of water or to use the restroom. He's trying to set church order and all these things. He said, please, you know, just you know, abide by these things and all this different stuff that he's telling him, trying to set things in order. And, you know, for some of you, I know, I'll just go ahead and say it, you know, to amen Brother Neville a little bit. You know, we need to have a little bit of that around here too. It's wonderful. We want you to enjoy the services. We want you to enjoy the services. We want you to come and be able to get something out of the Word, but we want other people to be able to enjoy it too. So if the children, you know, we don't want them running up and down the aisles and running through the church. Brother Bram said, you know, if a child runs through the church, it can absolutely grieve the Holy Spirit away the next service. So, you know, I know some of my children are just as guilty as anybody else's on that. But when we're going to the restroom or going to the water fountain or whatever, if you can't get them to stop, then the deacons will stop them. Because that's what they're here for, to keep order in the church. We don't want them running through the building. We don't want them, you know, just taking control of the service. Many times I'm up here preaching and my focus is on the next quote that's coming up or what the Lord's given me to say. A lot of times I don't pay a bit more attention to it than anybody. You know, it'd have to get pretty loud to really bother me or distract me. But sometimes that person's sitting back there trying to study, trying to read the quote along with it, trying to listen to the tape or listen to the minister. And many times it's distracting all the different things going on. So let's try to minimize some of the toys and the noise and all of that. In the running, I believe we had a prophet that come, and he said, you know, conduct, order, and doctrine. And, you know, there's a lot that they go wild over the doctrine, but there's not a whole lot of them that get the conduct and order sometimes. All right. Now, there was a man that had passed out some tracts there at the tabernacle, and now Brother Branham and Brother Neville have to deal with this situation. This is how they do it.
I appreciate our pastor here, Brother Neville. As a true servant of the Lord, he just as soon as anything, you know, a real shepherd will watch, and if anything gets wrong with the sheep, he's right on the guard, isn't he? A real shepherd, but a hireling runs back and lets the thing go through and kills the sheep. Isn't that right? But a real shepherd's on his guard. A little tract was passed and sent out this week to many of the members of the church. Through here, as I understand, was concerning a doctrine, a cult that originates in West Virginia, and it's nothing, friends. It's nothing new. It's old, and they deny Jesus, His name being Jesus, and they now. And the pastor, as soon as he found it, he rushes right to me and tells me about it. Something to be done. I said, well. Surely the church established enough in the gospel of Jesus Christ knows better than that. They call it Yahweh, Yahshua, Yahweh. Now, our dear old brother Ryan that comes here once in a while, he's mixed up in that too. And Mrs. Larson that was once here with us, she's into that also. And getting a whole group of them started. Now, Christian friends, the word Yahshua, and they say the Bible is misprinted, misinterpreted, and so forth. Look, don't pay no attention to what people are saying about that Bible being misprinted. If this is misprinted, something else they say, this is misprinted, where's your faith laying at?
Amen.
This is God's Word. This is the way it looks right here, see? And I believe it. Now, the word of, now here is fact. The lady that come to me here some time ago, and she didn't believe that his name was Jesus. She said his name should be Jehovah Jr. So I said, lady, see what it is, friends. People who have those minds, receptacles to isms, The first thing you know, they get a spirit of delusion and go off and believe an error. And they're just ready for something like that. And don't do that. Be solid. Bible said be stable,
Amen.
Unmovable, see, abounding in Christ.
Amen.
Now, the first person I ever turned from my house in my life was a woman. I said, don't come up here. If you can't come and talk of something different from that, because that, I believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And
Amen.
I said, that's my faith is built on that. But now the word, so that you'll understand, when you pick it up, lay it away. Joshua. Really, the correct word is Joshua. See? Now, I want to say something here. Oh, God, Jehovah. I doubt whether anybody except Billy Paul back there knows what that means. Oh, God, Jehovah. Does anybody know what the word Kitas means? Does anybody know what the word of Bayou Dantile means? Does anybody know what the word Donkey Shay means? One hand for gunk, two. All right. What's the word thank you mean? That's what I said every time. Oh, God, Huva, keep this donkey shade up by your donkey. See, it's all thank you. But I just spoke it in different languages. Joshua is the name of Jesus in Hebrew. That's all. If it's in English, it's Jesus means Joshua. Joshua.
Amen.
Joshua. It's just the same thing. See? Now, if you want to say, well, you ought to say it in a Hebrew word, then we ought to say all the rest of it in a Hebrew word. Then we all understand Hebrew, and that makes Hebrew then the international dialect.
Yeah.
See how sin it is? There's nothing to it, see. Joshua, Yahweh is God. Yahweh, Joshua, all those words, Hebrew words, that pertains to God. But if we were saying the same word, we'd say Jesus.
Amen.
Joshua. See, Joshua, Jesus. Now, if I was talking to a Hebrew and he couldn't understand English, I'd have to say Joshua to make him understand what I was talking about. But if I was talking to you this morning, I'd go saying Joshua, you'd wonder what I was saying. I'd say Jesus. See,
Amen.
It's the same word, the same thing.
So
don't listen to, you know, the Bible said that those things would be just like they are before the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
All these things rising up. And here not long ago in teaching, I believe it was here somewhere, showed how out of Genesis come these spirits, beginning in Genesis, and they go right on out, and every cult in the world today started in Genesis in the beginning.
Amen.
That's right, every one of them. Babylon began, all the different ites and so forth, all begin back there, and all those different gods and so forth, they started worshiping even the roots of the trees and so forth, those things. Branched right on down, and what's the nature of what they did, if you study it in a historical way, what they did back there, how they worshiped, and look at it over here today, you find it right out here under another cult, under Christianity and so forth, in the same thing, impersonating.
Amen.
So just remember this, my dear Christian friend, that I wouldn't stand here as a deceiver. I'd rather be up there in the mountains. But I know what truth is. Like a man just handed me a brother, a book a while ago, and Almighty God who will judge me at the judgment. When I took that book and laid it down there on top of the Word of God, the angel of the Lord stood right there by my side a while ago and said, take that off of there. That's right. It's not right. That's right. He didn't want it even associated with His Word. That's true. God will, when we all meet at judgment, know that the angel of the Lord stood right there by my chair a few minutes ago and Brother Neville was off in prayer and maybe take that thing away from His Word.
Amen.
That's exactly right. See? So it's just, it's things that's not right. And the man gave it to me to read. The man himself, a brother here in the church, said, look at that. Now, I just took it in my hand, so that's all I know about it. But the Holy Spirit knew it wasn't right.
Amen.
So it's not right. So we just, here is God's Word outside of here. So He just, our faith is built on here, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Now I want to go over that a little bit. I've got some excerpts from that quote, but it was just too long for me to read that. All that is about 6 minutes of him just talking, me stopping and quoting everything. We've been 30 minutes on it. But just wanted you to hear him say that. Now, you notice he called several people Brother Ryan. He talks about many times. Usually he's talking highly of Brother Ryan, the man that came down and gave him the bicycle and everything. He said, when the church got in a financial problem, he went out to pass out the offering plate there, and he said he saw that little Sister Wiseheart, getting in that little pocket and getting that little snap purse out to dig down those pennies during the time of depression. He said, "Oh, I'm just joking. Put the hat up." He said, "I couldn't do it." And he said, "So I took that bike that Brother Ryan had given me," and he said, "I cleaned it up and painted it and sold it for $5, and we had enough money to meet the bill," or whatever it was. But this Brother Ryan, he said, was part of the House of David, and he said even he had got off into this cult a little bit of this thing that had come down out of West Virginia about the pronunciation of names. We still see that. He said, "It's nothing new. It's something that's old." We still see that a lot. People, there's a guy that shines shoes in the building that I work at, and he's a Seventh-day Adventist. And he says, he's big on that all the names in the Bible and things are wrong. That shouldn't say Jesus. You should say Yahshua and all these different, pronunciations and things like that. But we had a vindicated prophet of God come and thankfully tell us these things. And, just in sitting and thinking about some of these things yesterday, thinking, God, how do I approach some of these things? And there it was, that quote, staring me in the face, Brother Joel. I thought, well, there's how we handle it. So he says in this quote, redemption by judgment, he says, a real shepherd will watch. And if there's anything gets wrong with the sheep, he's right on guard, isn't he? A real shepherd. But a hireling runs back and forth and lets things go through and kill the sheep, isn't that right? But a real shepherd's on his guard. Said a little tract was passed and sent out this week to many of the members of the church through here, as I understand, was concerning a doctrine, a cult, that originates in West Virginia. Now, that's nothing against you, Sister Christie. He says again, now our old, dear old Brother Ryan that comes here once in a while, he's mixed up in that too, and Mrs. Larson that was once here with us, she's into that also and getting a whole group of them started. Now, here he is. You say you shouldn't call names when they... Well, I'm not big on calling names either, but we find out that he did it, didn't he? Right. And there was a situation recently here at the church. The man's not here. If he was here, I would say the exact same things that I'm saying this morning. But there's a man that visited us recently that I've dealt with him before. I've talked to other pastors that have dealt with him before. I know his history. And he's just one of these type of guys that he's going to run in, and whether it's something to pervert the word or something perverted in the natural or whatever it is, he's constantly going to be pushing those type of things. And Paul said to mark those that cause contentions among you. Now, so that's what we're here to do this morning. And I'm not going to call his name. He's not here this morning. But if he comes back and he begins to cause problems, then the deacons will have to deal with it. And if that doesn't work, then we'll have to address it over the pulpit. And if that doesn't work, then we'll have to show him the church of the open door. That door works two ways, and he can just use it the opposite direction. You say, "Oh, Brother Nathan, I don't know about that. I don't know if you should say that." Well, we're talking about the word this morning. And as a shepherd, I'm responsible to make sure that something doesn't come in that's going to deceive you. I know most of you don't know him or don't know his history or don't know the things that he gets into or whatever. So I don't expect you to understand or to know all these different things, but I want you to be prepared. And if somebody starts, trying to tell you all these different things, contrary to the message or outside of the message, when I get up here, and we'll get into it a little bit further, there are a lot of men that say a lot of good things. There's a lot of politicians that say a lot of good things, but I'm not going to have them come preach for us. There's a lot of scientists that say a lot of good things. There are a lot of political talk shows, and there are a lot of different people that can say some good things. But if I'm going to go to feed the bride of Jesus Christ, then I have to be able to give them sheep food. And, I'm not going to go out here to the Baptist bookstore, or I'm not going to go out here to the Catholic Church or the Methodist Church or some Trinitarian or some woman preacher and try to ask them, what should I feed the bride of Jesus Christ this morning? Do you have anything for me? Is there anything that, I'm not going to go on YouTube and try to find something. There was a gentleman telling me just recently, he said, "Oh, there's this woman preacher that Brother Daniel and Brother Luke was standing there talking with me about it." And he said, "Oh, there's this woman preacher that she was healing Brother Branham's ministry, and she's on YouTube and she's talking about Brother Branham." And I thought, I'm not going to wade through a woman preacher garbage just to hear her say Brother Branham's name. You know, I'm not going to put myself through that. There's, you know, so many different things that I can go to that I'm not going to, you know, sit under some woman preacher or some Trinitarian or somebody like that to try to find something to give to the bride of Jesus Christ. I'm further along than that by the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, he says, and they say that the Bible is misprinted, misinterpreted, and so forth. Look, don't pay no attention to what people say about the Bible being misprinted. If this is misprinted, something else, they say this is just as misprinted. Where's your faith lying at? He said, this is God's Word. This is what it looks like right here. You want God's Word? This is what it looks like right here. This is what it looks like right here. Amen. I don't have to go and ask somebody else's permission. I don't have to go and ask their idea or opinions. I've got the Word of God right here to feed the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If we're going to feed sheep, you know, anything but sheep food is going to give, it's going to upset their stomach. You don't go out and, you know, get a sheep and, you know, a lion out there or something like that. They're going to want a big slab of meat or something like that. And they're going to want something maybe that they have to kill themselves as a predator and all these things. And you go out there to a lamb and you say, you see that little antelope over there? Go get him, boy. There's you some sheep food. He's going to say, bah. Bad. That tastes bad. That old lion, he's ready to eat it up. One of those anacondas, he's over there thinking, if he just lays down and sleeps, I'm going to swallow him up with that sheep. He thinks, I don't know nothing about that. Give me some sheep food. That's what we want to provide this morning. He says, the lady that come to me here some time ago, and she didn't believe that his name was Jesus. She said his name should be Jehovah Junior. He says, So I said, lady, see what it is, friends. People who has those minds, receptacles to isms. The first thing you know, they get a spirit of delusion and go off and believe an error. We've seen so many of them around the message. They get off into some scientific thing or, you know, there's some brothers up in South Dakota that they, you know, they got one of those machines that you pluck a hair out and put it in. It's supposed to analyze your body and tell you everything that's wrong with you and all your history and all these different things. And they begin to almost make that their God and to, you know, almost worship that instead of the Creator. What was it? They begin to get off a little bit into something and science and all these different things and medicine, and you know there's a lot of things that's good in that, but we want to watch that we don't get so involved in that you become a receptacle to an ism and get so distracted in that you forget about the sheep food. He said the first thing you know, they get a spirit of delusion and go off and believe an error, and they're just ready for something like that. And don't do that. Be solid, the Bible said. Be stable, unmovable, see, abounding in Christ. You see, some of these people, you know, the Bible talks about them, said, tossed about with every wind of doctrine, and whatever it is, the latest thing that's coming through, that's all they can talk about. Did you hear what brother so-and-so down here is talking about? Bless God, and oh my, that's all they can see and all they can talk about. And then, you know, you meet them 6 months later, oh no, he was wrong. He got off into this, but I'm following this brother now. And then you meet them 6 months down the road, and they're on to the next doctrine, the next idea, or the next ism, or the next cult, whatever it would be. He said, don't do that. Be solid, the Bible said. Be stable, unmovable, see, abounding in Christ. Now, he said, first person I ever turned from my house in my life was this woman. You mean Brother Branham turned somebody away from his house? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, you can do it too. We think sometimes of the bride of Jesus Christ, we just have to be this little humble person. Just, oh, love everybody and let them walk all over you and let them come into your house and force false doctrine down the throats of you and your family. And you just sit there. I'm just humble. Brother Branham said you can be too humble. He said you can be too humble. He said Jesus was humble. And he said, but there came a time when he knotted those cords and he ran them out of the temple of God too. He said he was playing the part of the deacon then, Brother Layton. The first person I ever turned away from my house in my life was this woman. I said, don't come up here if you can't come and talk of something different from that, because I believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And I said, that's my faith is built on that. He said, a man just handed me a brother a book a while ago, and Almighty God, who will judge me at the judgment. My, when I heard this last night, Brother Layton, the presence of the Lord just dropped in the room. I thought, oh my, Lord Jesus, thank God for a prophet that could tell us these things and see these things. Almighty God, who will judge me at the judgment. When I laid the book and laid it down there on top of the Word of God, the angel of the Lord stood right there by my side a while ago and said, take that off of there. That's right. It's not right. That's right. He didn't even want it associated with his word. Brother Branham hadn't even read it yet. He didn't know what it was. Just a brother at the church passed him and said, read this. Take a look at it. See what you think. He goes into his office, sets it down, and the angel of the Lord comes in the room and says, take that off of my word. I don't want it even associated with my word. How careful we should be. He said, and the man, give it to me to read. Then the man himself, a brother here in the church, said, look at that. Now, I just took it in my hand. So that's all I know about it. But the Holy Spirit knew it wasn't right, so it's not right. I doubt he even picked it up and read it, Brother Layton. The Holy Spirit knew it wasn't right, so it's not right. Why waste your time with it? So he said, here is God's word. Outside of this, believe just, he said, our faith is built on here, isn't it? Amen. St. Matthew 24:11 said, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Verse 24 says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if, everybody say if. If it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But Brother Graham said, it's not possible. Billy Graham said, you know, oh, it's gotten to the place that even the elect's being deceived. Brother Graham said, I don't want to contradict you, Billy, but he said, the Bible said the elect cannot be deceived. Amen. Thank God for that this morning. We have that promise. If it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now, so many people get confused, and they say, well, this was the coming of the Lord. No, wait, this was the coming of the Lord. No, this over here was the coming of the Lord. No, it was over here, it was over there. And they begin to look at all these different things, and they'll argue over it, which was the coming of the Lord. Some said he's coming on a horse. Some said he's coming on a cloud. Some said he's coming as a thief in the night. Some said he's sounding the trumpet and coming. Every eye shall see him. How's it going to be? But what it is, there's many appearances, Brother Branham said, many appearings, but one coming. And he says, as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west. If you remember Brother Branham's ministry, where did it come from? Out of the east and went to the west. Even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. I want to be where the carcass is. Hey man, I don't want to be with Joel Osteen or all these other guys. They may be wonderful guys. They may have some nice things to say. But where the carcass is, that's where the eagles will be gathered. Amen. Now, Paul says here in 1 Thessalonians, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief of the night. But Jesus said, as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Many even miss the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. But the Son of Man came, whether they believe it or not. I know there's many walking away and disbelieving it. You know, he hasn't come as a thief in the night yet to take his bride away, but he came in the clouds. We have a picture of it we had up here earlier. He came in the clouds. I'm not looking for another cloud. I've seen the cloud. Amen. I've got a picture of it. I'm not looking for him to come and shine from the east to the west. He's already did that. He came as the Son of Man. That ministry already took place. But he's coming to receive his bride. Remember, he said that he comes to redeem his bride. He comes to get his bride. And then he comes back at Armageddon to fight for Israel with his bride. Amen. So thank God for the truth. Now, this is something that, you know, this is something I don't typically read to you out of. But this is the Animal Nutrition Handbook. Page 520, section 16, and this is sheep nutrition and feeding directions. And it says, supplying energy and nutrients to satisfy their needs is the largest single cost associated with producing sheep. The largest cost associated with producing sheep is having the stored up food to feed them with. All right, he says, inadequate energy limits performance of sheep more than any other nutritional deficiency. So they don't have energy. That's like a lot of message people today. I just don't have the strength to make it, Brother Nathan. I'm going through this battle. I just don't have the strength. Well, have you been eating any sheep food lately? Brother Branham said, that man come in and say, oh, doc, he said, there's something wrong with me. I don't know if I got cancer. I don't know what. He said, there's just something wrong with me. He said, when's the last time you ate? Oh, about 4 days ago. He said, well, there's your problem right there. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I'm going through this battle. I'm going through all these trials. I've read Dobson. I've read Oral Roberts. I've read Billy Graham. I've read Joel Osteen. I've read all their books. It seems like I'm just so weak and I don't have strength. Well, you haven't been eating sheep food. You've got an energy deficiency. Amen. Inadequate energy limits performance of sheep more than any other nutritional deficiency. Deficiency results in reduced growth, reduced fertility, reduced wool quantity and quality, etc. Oh my, you start getting a little deficiency. You know, sadly, one of the reasons, you know, I believe in playing tapes in the church. But if you want to ask me some of the reasons, one of the reasons that I play it in church is because I know a lot of people's too lazy to listen to it on their own like they should. Another reason is I want you to be able to know that I'm not ashamed to play it because I'm not trying to say anything contrary to what he said. Another reason why is because I want to make sure you're getting some sheep food to give you strength for the journey. Amen. If I don't play his voice, trust me, I'll read some of his words to give you a little bit of strength for the journey, because the sheep, they need sheep food. Amen. He says, deficiency results in reduced growth. You say, Brother Nathan, I just seems like the last few years I just haven't grown spiritually at all. I haven't got closer to God. Well, have you allowed the prophet's voice to become a stranger in your home? Have you allowed the Bible to get dusty? And have you allowed, you know, the backside of your pants to wear out before the knees? Because you've been sitting at home and criticizing instead of staying on your knees praying? Maybe you've got an energy deficiency. I've got the answer for you. Just eat a little bit more sheep food. It says generally can satisfy the needs with a good quality pasture. Now, it didn't say pastor. It said a good quality pasture. So a good area that the sheep can eat in. Now, Amos 8, verses 11 and 12 says, behold, the days shall come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. So there was going to be a famine in the land. The pastures, the fields, the fresh green growth was going to be all eat up, and they were going to have a famine in the land. Not so much for eating and drinking, but for the hearing of the word of the Lord. Now, Brother Branham tells us, we just heard it in the Pergamene church age, he's talking about pastors. He said, if he's the shepherd, he's got to know where the manna is to feed the sheep. That's sadly the problem with a lot of churches. They forgot where the manna is to feed the sheep. And they're giving them a little bit of this over here, and they're giving them a little bit of that over there, but they rarely take them back and give them what the sheep really needs. Because in the time of famine, you remember what Joseph did in the Old Testament? God showed him by a dream that Pharaoh had and gave him the interpretation of the dream. And he saw that there was a famine coming. And so he didn't just say, oh, well, we better just give up. We better enjoy these next 7 years of plenty because we're all going to die the next. He said, no, wait a minute. There's something we can do for that famine. We can have some stored up food. So a sheep, it said back here, it said you can usually satisfy them with the needs of a good quality pasture. But if you don't have a good quality pasture where, you know, the fields are of plenty and everything, then there's another option, stored feed. This is from sheep101.info on the internet. It says, when fresh forage is not available, sheep are usually fed stored or harvested feed. So we've got some stored up food today. Amen. I'm happy to share it with you. Well, there's plenty. I'm not greedy. I'm not going to hold back any quotes or any tapes or any books and say, no, don't you read that one. Don't read that one over there because you'll get confused. No, you can have it all. It's all for the taking. Amen. We believe in the stored up food. He says, and God had explained, talking about pastors again, he says, usually anything that's unusual springs up, it's called into question. I think it's no more than right. It should be called into question. I think the pastors sometimes are suspicious of things that they hear, and I think they have a right to be, because I understand the translation of a word pastor, it means a shepherd, and therefore he's a feeder or herder of a group of men and women which the Holy Spirit has made him the overseer of, and he has the right to know what kind of food his sheep is getting and where it comes from. Now, there's been men around this message, and I've seen them over the years. I've seen them at different brothers' churches, and they'll come in and try to split up a church, and maybe a man get on a subject or something, and they'll come in and they'll pass out their little documents of, well, here's what we believe about it. Or they'll get some idea or something that they think that they want to share with the church, and they'll begin to share it with them. Usually it's not sheep's food. Usually it's something from way off somewhere else. But he said, a pastor has a right to know what kind of food his sheep is getting and where it's coming from. So for this gentleman that was here the other night that I talked to you about, or anybody else, if you know, these are the people that God's given me. I told Brother Doug yesterday, me and Dad was fellowshipping with him, and he was telling me how that they just felt led to be a part here. I said, Brother Doug, I've never pulled in anybody. I've never begged anybody. I've never tried to persuade anybody. I've never begged any one of you sitting here to come. Never begged you for your tithes. Never begged you to stay. But God's led you here for whatever reason. If God's led you here, then from what Brother Bram said, this is my pasture. I'm the shepherd over this little field, over this little flock, men and women that God has given. If you're going to share something with them, and I'll give this tape to that brother if he comes back. If you're going to share something with them, I have a right to know what kind of food it is that you're giving my sheep and where it's coming from. He said, I think he has a right to that. And if a pastor, or sometimes people would seem to be just a little bit suspicious, that doesn't never should not bother anyone. It should only bring more respect to a man's heart for a man that's standing that would question it. He said, again, Revelation Book of Symbols, he says, if a boy was at the door and knocked at the door latch, tell the ushers, I have a telegram here for Mr. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so. He would be a messenger, an earthly angel. He says, your pastor, when he stands here on the platform ministering the word of God, he's God's angel to the church, messenger to the church. Now, people have taken that, and they've tried to elevate themselves to the level of Brother Branham, that bless God, I'm a messenger. No, he's not talking about a seventh church age messenger. He's talking about for that specific flock, God has placed them there, that if they're really a true shepherd, God will lead that man to whatever the sheep have need of. If he finds a little deficiency, and maybe, well, I see him getting a little deficient over here on predestination, I'll feed him a little bit of that. And well, I see him getting a little deficient over here, they're on holiness, it looks like mine, they're getting so deficient, we better feed them some holiness vitamins. And maybe they're struggling with things with marriage and divorce, and maybe we need to feed them a little bit of that, or whatever it would be. God places a man there as the messenger to that church, not a messenger to the whole church age. God didn't call me to call out a bride. He already called a man to call out that bride, and thank God he called me out. He said, come out of her, my people. God didn't call me to preach to the whole bride. I know there's some preachers out there that maybe feel that way, that they're just God's gift to humanity. But God sets a pastor in a place for an area, for a specific group of people, and God will place on that man what sermons to preach, what tapes to play, what man to come in and preach as a guest minister. When he sees a deficiency in the sheep and feels like they need a little bit more of that type of sheep food or this type of vitamin, or that type of vitamin, God will lead that man just in the way. Why? Because he's God's angel to that church, the messenger to the church. That doesn't lift us up into a place of Brother Branham. No. No, I've heard some of them say, oh, we're past the eyes now. The eyes was the prophet. We're past the eyes up into the intellect. And I say, baloney. That's just my Southern Indiana way of saying it. I don't have a more eloquent word to use, Brother Doug. I just say baloney. Because I'm not going to go past Brother Branham. I'm not going to have more revelation than Brother Branham. I'm not here to reveal any more of the word. I'm just here. Remember, he said in the church age book, we just read it a couple Sundays ago. He said the bride of Jesus Christ wasn't called to produce the word. She was just called to believe it and live it. Many of them, they get that believe it part. We believe God sent a prophet. My, if you tried to convince them otherwise, they get in a fist fight with you. But you get to talking about the live it part, and suddenly they stop singing. Just tell me what he said. Don't tell me what he meant. And I say, well, here's what he said over in 1963. Here's what he said in questions and answers in 1964. Here's what he said over here. Here's what he said about going to church. They say, oh, why is everybody always harping saying we got to go to church? Well, because Paul said it, and amen. Brother Branham said it, and I've got about 100 quotes where he talks about it. Oh, well, why are they always talking about preachers and all this? Well, because it's here and it's here and it's over in 64 and it's over in 65 and back in 56. And so, you know, when you go to tell them what he said, and this is how you should dress and this is how you should wear your hair and this is what Paul taught about holiness and this is what Paul taught, suddenly they become awful quiet. I'm not ashamed of any of the Word of God. Amen. I believe it. Amen. Therefore, a pastor should never leave that word, but stay right straight with the word. Because he's feeding the shepherd's place. Because the word pastor means shepherd. Look it up and find out if that ain't right. A pastor is a shepherd, and the Holy Ghost has made him an overseer over a certain flock to feed them, what with? The word of God. Amen. Now, if I'm going to feed a sheep food, I'm not going to go to a Trinitarian and try to find out what he's going to have to say for me to feed the sheep. I'm not going to go to a woman preacher, try to ask her what I should preach to the bride of Jesus Christ. I wrote these down. This isn't Brother Branham. This is just some thoughts that came to me last night. We don't need them to confirm a vindicated prophet or his message. I don't need some woman preacher or somebody on YouTube. Some of those things might be nice, but I'm not looking. I had a gentleman tell me the other night talking about rock and roll and things, and he was telling how that this man had a website saying that rock and roll was started to stop revivals and things. And he said to me right there, that just vindicates what Brother Branham said. I said, oh, no, that don't vindicate what Brother Branham said. God vindicated what Brother Branham said. I don't need some Trinitarian's website to prove to me what Brother Branham said or vindicate him. No, thank you. I know he's a vindicated prophet. I'm not waiting on somebody to prove it. I believe it. You say, oh, they have some good things to say. So do Dr. Dobson, some political talk show hosts, humanitarians. But I'll go to a vindicated prophet of God if I'm looking for sheep food. He says in Be Not Afraid 1961, he says, so many places in the Bible, when they went up before the servant of the Lord to ask counsel. Well, I want to ask you, what about when you get all messed up and troubled? Don't you go to your pastor? Is that right? He said, you should do it. If you get in trouble, you should go to your brother and tell him, say, brother, I did something wrong. I shouldn't have did that. I pray you to help me now. Pray through till I get over this thing. Now, some pastors take that and they want to be your priest. I'm not your priest. You don't have to come and confess to me every little sin that you do. Brother Nathan, I failed today. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about if you're in a battle and you've been struggling, you've prayed and you've sought God and you've sought the Word and you just don't know what to do, then God places men of leadership in your life to be able to go and to talk about these things and to try to get help. But that doesn't mean every little time you do something. No, we're not a Catholic church. You don't have to come and confess to me your sins. But if you're going through something and you're having trouble, he said you should go to your brother. He said you should do it. If you get in trouble, you should go to your brother and tell him, say, brother, I did something wrong. I shouldn't have did that. I pray you to help me now to pray through till I get this thing over, till I get over this thing, or help me in my troubles. Isn't that the scriptural way to do it? He said, well, that's because he's your pastor. He's your shepherd. He's the one who gives you the food out to you to eat, and he knows how to feed his sheep that God has. The Holy Spirit has made him overseer over to the flock to watch over them and take care of them, and that's what he's there for. I'm not here to be your boss. I'm not here to tell you all kinds of man-made ideas of, well, if you're going to come here, you got to do this, and if you're going to come here, you can't do that, and you got to be here, and you got to do that. No, I'm here to point you back to this. I'm here to make sure you've got a sufficient diet of sheep food to sustain you through the journey. Amen. I'm pointing you to that. Now, I hope this morning I didn't scare you or hurt anybody's feelings or anything. I'm just trying to prepare you. As I said, there's some wonderful things. I read some things. I've sat down and read Dr. Dobson, and I've sat down and read some of these other men's works. And there, as I said, there's some good things that those men say. But if we're going to feed the sheep food, I'm not going to base it off of some psychologist, even if they're a Christian psychologist. I'm not going to base it off of some man's website or some man's ideas. There may be some good things in that, but most of the time I'm not going to wade through all the garbage around it of the other things that they believe and that they're trying to push with their agenda so that I can try to find one little polished off piece of food that might be about half stale that I can bring and say, here you go. This is all I could find today. I searched the whole internet, but this is all I could find was this little bite. I hope you make it through to tomorrow. I'll go back. I'll go to Focus on the Family. I'll go to Joel Osteen's. I'll go to T.L. Osborne. I'll go to all these guys. I'll try to find you something for next week, but you just eat that sparingly. No, we got a whole storehouse full. The supplies, Brother Bram said, can you imagine a little mouse over there in the granary? And he thinks, oh my, I'm in a granary in Egypt. I better be so careful. Just eat one little grain at a time. because I don't want to exhaust this whole granary. He said, the whole granary of Egypt, that one little mouse trying to exhaust it. He said, can you imagine a little fish over in the ocean swimming around with those little fins? He thinks, oh, I better drink sparingly. I might drink this whole thing up. He said, not a chance. He said, that's how God is with his blessings. That's how God is with his words. You can't exhaust it. You know, I find it incredible. When I was an evangelist, Brother Layton, I thought for sure, if I was ever a pastor, the hardest thing would be to find enough to preach on. What am I going to preach on? Because as an evangelist, you know, you'll study two or three sermons, and you'll just tear up the roads and preach those same three sermons over and over and over and over. And you think, my, come up with two or three sermons every week. How on earth would I ever do that? But I find out, you know, I go back here, and I read that same chapter that I've read maybe a dozen times, or I read that same church age book that I've read maybe a dozen times, or I listen to that same tape, and all of a sudden something comes. Oh, yes. Bless God, I never caught it like that before. That's something for the bride. What is it? You know, I've heard some of them, they called it stale manna. Let me say again my word there, baloney. Baloney, it's not stale manna. It's food for the bride. It's got sustaining power. We're still finding things that he said back in the 50s and 60s that really didn't even come into effect till just recently. The things that he told us and foresaw, and things that science is proving, and things that nature is proving, and things that, you know, I believe that were spoken not even for the group that was sitting there in 1964 or 1956 or whenever it was, talking about homosexuality being on the increase. It might have been on the increase, but you sure didn't hear anything about it when my daddy was in high school. You say you were queer back then, some boys would take you out to the woodshed and beat you until you wished you wasn't. But now they're proud. We're proud. How sick. I'm not proud. I'm not proud of them. No, not at all. I wouldn't be proud to be one of them. But I'm glad to be one of them. Amen. Not one of them, but one of them. This is one of those services we need to have videotape for, the Jeremy, because the people on tape just won't get the full effect of that one. Not one of them, but one of them. Amen. To me, I thank God for a word that's pure. He said that back then. Now we see it on the increase. He said all these different things about science and about medicine, all these different things back then. People probably didn't have a bit more idea than nothing what he was talking about, but now we begin to see it. We begin to see all these different things that talking about a falling away. There wasn't a falling away back then. The bride was just being able to be built, and there was people coming to it and coming to it. But now what do we see? A falling away. Now we see the shuck pulling away from the wheat. I know I've kept you long, but I'm trying to close. And we find out that thank God for a word that can keep us, that can ground us, that we can know what we believe and what we stand for. Thank God for a prophet that came in our day with the truth. Because we're not, you know, there's a lot of these different things. Some of these people that come through and different ideas and different things, and you say, well, Brother Nathan, what if they start some trouble? What if they try to start something? Well, I've got some brothers sitting here that I have confidence in. Hey, man, Brother Darrell's smiling real big. He's one of them. I've got some brothers that I have confidence in. If they come in and try to start something physically, we'll be okay. But Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not here fighting a physical battle. I'm not worried about somebody coming in here and slapping my face off or shooting me or something like that. I'm more worried about this spiritual warfare that we're fighting. There's somebody come in and try to slip something in, just like Paul said, those ravenous wolves try to come in and slip something, maybe with the best of intentions. Maybe they don't mean to be wrong. Maybe they don't mean to say these things, but something that would get you shifted away, get your focus shifted away from the truth. No, I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to put up with it. I'm not going to sit back and just be humble and, well, you know, we appreciate that, whatever you want to do. No, we're going to stand for the word of God here. Amen. We're going to try to keep anything false away from the people. And, you know, we stand for the word. I know there's a lot of people that maybe don't think that we do, but we stand for the word. We stand for it maybe more than they do sometimes, because even though they want to talk about it, they don't usually want to live it. But we believe it. We want to live it to the best of our ability. I'd give my life for it. You say, oh, that's easy to say, Brother Nathan. No, if somebody walked in this morning and put a gun to my head like they did in Columbine and said, denounce William Branham as a prophet or I'll pull the trigger, I'll say, go ahead, because my God can stop the firing pin. Or if not, then obviously he wants me to go on home. But I'm not going to deny this message. I'm not following these false prophets out here in their false websites. I'm following a vindicated prophet of God. Amen. If the musicians would come. You say somebody might call your hand on that sometime, Brother Nathan. Yeah, God might call their hand sometime too. I don't want you to get me wrong this morning. I don't hate any of these people, even the ones that have left the message. False websites, false prophets, false doctrines, false teaching, all that. I don't hate those people. I hope that there's still grace for some of them, but I'm sure not going to follow them or compromise with them or try to baby them around or dote on them. I don't hate these people that are still claiming the message, that get off into all these little isms and ideas and things. Some of them may be okay. Some of them might be a bunch of garbage, but, you know, I don't hate those. I pray that they're delivered. I pray that God will show them more of the truth. We have a perfect word with vindication, he said. He said, by the grace of God, we have the perfect word with vindication. I'm thankful for it. I stand for it. Amen. Let's worship the Lord this morning together. Oh, Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Oh, Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of every idea, Jesus be the Lord of all. Oh, Jesus be the Lord of all, the kingdoms of my heart. This is our desire, Lord. Jesus, I surrender all my will, all my pride. Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all the kingdoms of my heart. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, that's our desire this morning, is to surrender everything to you. Father, the words we spoke this morning, Lord, I didn't speak it to try to be mean or angry or try to hurt anybody, but I spoke it to try to protect the flock, Lord. Many may not understand this type of preaching, maybe thinking, well, you shouldn't have did this, you shouldn't have did that. No, if there would have been more of this type of preaching, there would have been a lot of churches that maybe wouldn't have split, a lot of people that maybe wouldn't have left, Father, but we stand for the word, and we want to keep it before the people. We want to protect the people, Father, from unbelief and from doubt and from confusion, false doctrine and cults and isms. We want to stay with the pure word, Father. Lord, I don't have to question and wonder and go back and forth and try to confirm and vindicate whether it's right or not. I know it's vindicated because you came night after night and vindicated it. Thank you, God, for truth. Thank you, God, for a message that you sent. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. We want to put you first in our thinking. We want to put you first in our desires. We love you, Jesus. Lord, if there's anything unpleasing in our hearts, may you just take it completely away from us, Lord. If there's any unpure thought or, Lord, anything in us, Lord, that would hinder us or stumble us, Lord, may you take it away. Lord, if there's anything, Lord, that we've done that's wrong, Lord, help us, Lord, just to make it right. Lord, if there's anything, Lord, in our body of sickness, may you take it away from us. If there's any need that we have, Lord, may you just minister to that need this morning. Lord, we believe that you back up your word, and we thank you. We believe your word. We've seen you service after service. Lord, you back up your word. We believe it. We've seen you move in our midst. We've seen you answer prayers. We thank you for the truth, Lord. We thank you for sending a prophet, Lord, so that we don't have to be in confusion and wonderment about all these different things, but even on how to handle situations in the church, Lord, we can look right into the word and see how to handle it, what to do, how to go about it, Father. Thank you for this truth that you've given. Help us to always stand true, even if it's not popular. Even if it, Lord, if it's mocked and made fun of, Lord, help me to stand with it with everything that's within me. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's sing it again together. Oh, Jesus be the Lord of all. Tonight, Lord willing, communion, 7:30, and if you can be here for the communion feet washing, we'd love to have you with us. Also, my forgetter is working, Brother Layton. I can't remember, there was something else that I was wanting to announce, and I can't remember what it was, but communion and foot washing tonight at 7:30. We love you. We're not against anybody. We're for you. I would just want to protect the church and keep anything from coming in that would be unpleasing to the Lord. We don't want to see anybody misled or hindered. We want to see you go on further in the Word and closer to Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing this song together before we go. Oh, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. Oh, it bathed my heart in love, and it wrote my name above, and just a little thought of Jesus made me whole. So let us have a little thought. Oh, let us tell Him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, then He's going to answer by and by. Oh, when you feel a little prayer will burn, Lord, you'll know a little fire is burning. We'll find a little thought that Jesus makes it right. Oh, I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. Oh, I can go to Him in prayer, for He knows my every care, and just a little thought that Jesus makes it right. Oh, let us have a little thought.
He will hear our faintest cry. Then he's gonna answer by and by. Oh, when you feel a little prayer will turn it, Lord, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little cross of Jesus makes it right. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. Then he's gonna answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn it, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus. Let's sing it together again. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. He will hear our faintest cry. Then he's gonna answer by and by. Oh, when you feel a little prayer will turn it, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus. God bless you. You're dismissed this morning. Let's sing it as we go. We'll have a